Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that somebody let you down? When was the last time that someone said to you that they'd do something with you and didn't do it? When was the last time someone said that they would help you with something and didn't help you? When was the last time someone said that they would be there for you and they weren't? When was the last time somebody made a promise to you and broke it? When was the last time someone assured you that they were telling you the truth, but it turns out that they were actually lying to your face? When was the last time that somebody let you down? We've all been there, haven't we? All of us. All of us have been let down by people in our family, by our friends, by our colleagues. We've all been let down by our schoolmates, by our neighbors. Every single one of us has known that horrible feeling you get when you're let down. All of us have had people say to us that they would do X for us, but didn't bother. All of us have people say that they would do Y, but they did X. All of us have people tell us bare-faced lies. All of us have been let down by people. And there's some of us here this morning, and there's people in our lives who do this over and over and over again. They constantly let us down. It's not just a one-off, it's a repeated habit. They let us down over and over and over again. And it breaks the relationship we have with them. It makes it difficult for us to trust them. But we've all been there, haven't we? You see, our world, this world that we live in, it's filled with people who promise one thing and do another. It's filled with people who let us down. It's filled with people who lie to our face. Now, although the world of the Old Testament was thousands and thousands of years ago and a very, very different world to our modern world, one of the things that it has in common with our modern world is that back then, it was filled with people who lied and let people down too. The world of the Old Testament was filled with people who said they'd do X but did Y. The world of the Old Testament was filled with people who claimed to be speaking the truth, but like nowadays, were speaking barefaced lies. But in the ancient world, in the ancient world of the Old Testament, there was actually a solution to this problem. In the world of the Old Testament, there was actually a way to get people to tell the truth. In the world of the Old Testament, there was actually a way to get people to fulfill their promises, to do what they said they were going to do. What was the solution? The solution was oaths and vows. You see, in the time of the Old Testament, if you wanted to make someone, to make sure they were telling the truth to you, you would make them swear an oath. You would say to them, "Swear by God that what you're saying is true. Swear by the name of our God that you're not lying here." And under oath, they would tell you the truth. Or if someone said that they were going to do something for you, you'd make them take a vow before God. "I vow before God that I will help you with that. I vow before God that I will be there for you." You made people swear vows before God. You made them swear oaths before God. And if you were one of the people and you wanted to make sure someone knew that you were really going to do what you said, you swore a vow. Or if you wanted somebody to know that you were telling the truth, you swore an oath before God. This was the solution. This is what you did. And the reason it worked so well in the time of the Old Testament was because people feared God. They were convinced that if they took an oath or a vow before God and then broke that oath or vow, God would punish them. They believed there would be recompense. They believed there would be consequences. And so in the world of the Old Testament, the solution to lies and letdowns was vows and oaths. In verse 33, Jesus sums up the Old Testament teaching on vows and oaths before God. Have a look at what he says there. He says there, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.'" Jesus says, look, you've heard what they did in Old Testament times. You're not to swear falsely before God. If you swear before God, you must tell the truth. You should perform to the Lord what you have sworn. If you swore before God that you're going to do something, you should do it. So in the world of the Old Testament, when a person took a vow or an oath before God, they were going to tell the truth or they were going to do what they said they were going to do. But this morning when we arrive in Matthew chapter 5, This morning, when we kind of parachute into the world of Jesus, there was a big problem. A really big problem. And the problem was that people were not taking oaths in God's name anymore. Instead, they were taking oaths by the kind of names of all other things. They weren't taking oaths in God's name anymore. And why this was a big problem was because the religious people, the religious leaders of the day, said to people, look, guys, if you don't take an oath in God's name, it's okay to break it. As long as you don't invoke God's name and you take a vow, it's okay to break it. You know, as long as God isn't involved in the oath you make, it's okay to lie. You see, the only thing that's binding on you folk is if you take an oath or a vow in God's name. Any other oath or vow, it's okay. And so people, they started making vows and oaths in the name of all sorts of things. And we see these in verses 34 to 36. Have a look there. Jesus points them out. People were making oaths and vows by heaven, verse 34, and by the earth and Jerusalem, verse 35, and by their heads, verse 36. In the days of Jesus, people had stopped making vows and oaths before God, and they'd started making them in the names of all of these other things. And what they were taught was, if you make vows and oaths in the name of these other things, you can break them, you can lie, it's okay. And so what happened then? Well, society became this society where people continually made vows and oaths, but continually broke them. Oaths and vows in the time of Jesus became about as useful as an inflatable dartboard. They were useless. They were powerless. Someone's oath didn't bind them. Someone's vow didn't bind them. They were just completely and utterly meaningless. If someone made a vow to you by heaven, you wouldn't actually think they were going to fulfill it. If someone made an oath to you by the earth, you'd know they were lying to you. Vows and oaths in the time of Jesus became completely and utterly useless. Now, it's into this context that Jesus calls his disciples to do something completely and utterly countercultural. It's into this context that Jesus looks at the followers in front of him and says to him, I want you to do something completely and utterly different to the rest of society. What does he want them to do? He wants them to ditch oaths and vows altogether. He wants them to not make vows or oaths at all. And instead, what does he want them to do? He simply wants them to be reliable with their words. He simply wants them to speak the truth. He simply wants them to commit to doing something and do it. And we see this at the top and tail of verses 34 to 36. Have a look at the top of verse 34. He tells them there to ditch oaths. But I say to you, do not make an oath at all. As my disciples, ditch making these meaningless oaths. Stop swearing by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem or by your head. And instead, look at the tail, look at verse 37. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more is from evil. I want you to be honest with your words. If you say yes, mean yes. If you say no, mean no. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're not going to do something, don't do it. Ditch this whole vows and oaths thing and just be refreshingly honest is what Jesus calls his followers to do. At the beginning of this sermon, I asked you two questions. They were, when was the last time someone let you down? And when was the last time that someone lied to you? But let me turn it around. And let me ask you these questions. When was the last time you let someone down? When was the last time you lied to someone? When was the last time that you said to someone that you'd do something for them and didn't do it? When was the last time you'd said you'd go somewhere with someone and didn't go? When was the last time you signed up to be at something and didn't turn up? When was the last time you told someone that you'd stop doing something and you did it anyway? When was the last time you, as a follower of Jesus, let someone down? When was the last time you, as a follower of Jesus, told lies to someone's face? Well, if you're like me, My guess is it probably wasn't all that long ago. And my guess is that you probably didn't think twice about doing it. My guess is it came very naturally to you, as it would to me. Now, why is that? It's because this type of behavior is just normal and accepted in our culture. Isn't it really sad that today in our culture, we don't actually expect people to do what they say they're going to do? Isn't it really sad that in our culture, we actually expect that people are lying to us? Does anyone expect political parties to actually follow through on their manifesto when they get into power? Nope. When a tradesman says he'll be at your house at 9 a.m. on Monday morning, do you really expect him to be there? No, part of you doubts that he will. When you read a news story online, is there not a little part of you is wondering if it's fake news? In our culture, it's completely normal, it's completely acceptable to tell lies to people's faces. In our culture, in our context, it's completely normal to say one thing and do another. It's just an accepted part of life. It's just the way our society is. It's just normal. It's just what we think is normal in our world. It's part of our culture's DNA. And because of this, lies for us become easier to tell. And because of this, we feel it's okay to let people down. But this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, this morning, if you're a Christian, this morning, if you're a disciple of Christ, although these are Jesus' words to his first followers, they're also Jesus' words to you this morning. They're Jesus' words to me this morning. This morning, in this culture that is filled with lies and letdowns, Jesus is calling us to be different. In this culture where lies and letdowns are just an acceptable part of life, Jesus is calling us to be different. He's calling us to be different from the world around us. He's calling us to be people who do what we say we're going to do. He's calling us to be people whose words are reliable. He's calling us to be people who always speak the truth, no matter how difficult that is. He's calling us in a world that is filled with lies and letdown to be people who are refreshingly honest and completely and utterly reliable and trustworthy. In our workplaces, in our schools, in our universities, in our nursing homes, in our sports clubs, in our choirs, with our friends, with our families, with our colleagues, Jesus is calling you and I to be people who are known for doing what we say we're going to do. He's calling us to be known for people who will always speak the truth, no matter how difficult that is. He's calling us to be people whose words are completely reliable and utterly honest. This morning, if you are an employee, he's calling you to be transparently honest with your boss when he asks you difficult questions. For those of you who are just really struggling with life just now, for those of you who life is difficult for just now, he's calling you to be honest when your friends and family ask you how you're doing. For those of us here who are parents, he's calling us to actually keep the promises we make to our kids. For those of us who are teenagers, he's calling you to be honest when your parents ask you questions that you maybe don't want to answer. As followers of Jesus, Jesus is calling us this morning to be people who do what we say. He's calling us to be people who will help when we say we're going to help. He's calling us to be people who are refreshingly honest in this world of lies. He's calling us to be radically countercultural. Now this morning, I hope if nothing else you see that's what Jesus is calling us to. But what you might not see this morning is why this matters so much. If you're a Christian this morning and you hear me talking about being honest and reliable, what you might not see is why this matters so much. And to show you why it matters so much, I'm going to point you back to a verse in the Old Testament about oaths. And it's from Leviticus 19, verse 12, and it says this. This is God speaking through Moses to his people, and he says this: "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Now look at the first bit of that. What God is saying to his people in the Old Testament is that if you swear falsely, if you swear that you're telling the truth and you're actually telling lies, do you know what you do? You profane my name. You make my name dirty. You give my name a bad reputation. Your lies bring shame on my name. And here's the thing, if you're a disciple of Jesus this morning, you're not only a disciple of Jesus, but you are an ambassador of Jesus. The Bible says that whether you like it or not, if you're a Christian this morning, you are an ambassador of Jesus. What does an ambassador do? He represents someone else in the world. The ambassador of America represents America to the world. And this morning, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are an ambassador of Jesus. Whether you like it or not, in your workplace, you represent Christ. In your school, you represent Christ. In your business, you represent Christ. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you represent Jesus to an unbelieving world. And here's the thing. Because you're an ambassador of Christ, if your words are dishonest, if your words are unreliable, ultimately people will begin to think that Jesus is dishonest and unreliable. Think about it. If you're not reliable and honest, you'll become known as the person that your friends know who isn't reliable, who's not honest. And because you're a Christian, and because your words are dishonest, and because your words are unreliable, what is going to happen is that your friends will think that is how all Christians are. That's what happens. Even though we live in a world which is so diverse, full of individuals, we're still in the habit of stereotyping people. And this morning, if you're a Christian, and you're dishonest, and you're unreliable, the people who you know and come into contact will just think that all Christians are like that. We see this stereotyping in the media, don't we? We might see a handful of so-called Christians who are bigoted. They might have a prominent place on the news. And what happens? Everyone thinks that Christians are bigoted. We might see a handful of people who are homophobic. And what happens? Every Christian in the world is branded as homophobic. We might find a few Christians who are anti-science. And what happens? Every Christian in the world is branded as anti-science by our media. And this is what's going to happen on a smaller scale in your workplace or in your nursing home or in your school. If you become known as the person who is dishonest and unreliable, they're just going to think that every Christian is dishonest and unreliable. And ultimately, they will think that Jesus is dishonest and unreliable. And ultimately, they will think that the Bible is dishonest and unreliable. To an unbelieving world, you are the first Bible people will read. And if they think you're dishonest and unreliable, that's what they'll think of God's word. That's what they'll think of the gospel. That's what they'll think of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're visiting with us and you're not a Christian, I just want to plead with you that if you've been let down by Christians, please, please, please don't judge Jesus by those Christians. This morning, if you're a visitor here and you're not a Christian, and someone, a Christian, has said they're going to help you and they've been unreliable, please don't look at Jesus and think he's unreliable. If you know some Christians and they're unloving, please don't think Jesus is unloving. If you know some Christians and they've been unforgiving to you, please don't think that Jesus is unforgiving. Because when you look at the Bible, that's not what he is like. Can I plead with you this morning? If you're not a Christian, if you're a visitor, and you have been put off Jesus because of Christians, can I encourage you to please look at Jesus for yourself? Because what you will find is a Jesus who is utterly reliable and refreshingly honest in the scriptures. What you will find is a Jesus who is incredibly forgiving and sacrificially helpful. What you will find is a Jesus who is always there for people. What you will find is a Jesus who hates evil and loves good. What you will find is a Jesus who stands up for the oppressed and against the oppressor. What you will find is a Jesus who loves, incredibly loves, unlovable people. And this morning, if you're a visitor and you're not a Christian and you've been put off Jesus by Christians, can I please plead with you not to judge Jesus on these people, but to consider him seriously for yourself, to consider his message for yourself, to consider what he says for yourself. For those of you who are Christians this morning, do you see why it matters? Do you see why this is so vitally important that you're honest and reliable? Do you see the impact it might have? Imagine you're one of the only reliable people that your friends know. Imagine you're one of the only completely honest people that your friends know. And they know you're a Christian. They know it's because of Jesus. It might get them thinking, mightn't it? What if this Jesus they know is reliable? What if this Jesus they know is honest? What if this Jesus and his message that he's come to forgive flawed people and bring people into relationship with God and give them everlasting life, what if that is actually reliable and true? Maybe it is. Maybe as I read this Bible, my friends, and see that they're reliable and honest, maybe the words of Jesus are also reliable and honest. Maybe I should investigate this. Maybe I should consider this seriously. Your words matter. Your truthfulness matters. Your reliability matters. Your reliability is so vitally important. If you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, this is what Jesus calls you to be. Refreshingly honest. Utterly reliable. And I want to just press home that it really matters because the reputation of Jesus is at stake. As I finish this morning, I just want to answer two very quick questions that you might just have running through your mind based on what we've read and what's been said so far. And the first question I'm guessing you might have is, well, Jesus says Christians should not take oaths, so can Christians take oaths? Have a look at verse 34. You see that. Verse 34, if you look there, Jesus says, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all." So is Jesus saying here that as Christians we shouldn't take oaths in a court or medical oaths, or military oaths, or political oaths? Well, whenever we look back through church history, we see that some Christians have read it that way. And there are some denominations in our world today that read it that way, and they refuse to take marriage vows, they refuse to take political oaths, they refuse to take the Hippocratic Oath. They just ditch all oaths altogether. Now, whilst I respect these people, whilst I understand why they've come to that conclusion, I don't think that this is what Jesus was saying here. When we look at the context, Jesus was talking about these everyday flippant oaths by heaven, by earth, by your head. He wasn't talking about formal oaths made to God. But the second reason why I don't think Jesus was talking about this particular type of oath is because later on in Matthew's gospel, when we get to chapter 26, do you know what happens? Jesus speaks under oath. He's on trial before the high priest. He said absolutely nothing in his defense. And then in chapter 26, verses 63 to 64, the high priest puts him under oath before God. The high priest invokes God's name and asks Jesus to answer a question. And for the first time in that trial, he does. He answers under oath. So here, Jesus is not forbidding us to take political oaths or legal oaths or marital oaths or anything like that. What he's simply saying here is stop making these flippant, useless, meaningless oaths. Stop promising things that you're not going to do. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay, the second question we're going to finish with is this. What can I do to become more honest and reliable in my words? See, it's all very well hearing this, isn't it? It's even all good agreeing with it. But we are so saturated by our culture. We have become so used to telling lies. We've become so used to making promises and not keeping them that it's actually difficult to work out how we stop this. How do we break this habit? How do we, on a day-to-day level, actually put this into practice? And very simply, I think the answer is to be slow to speak. It's to pause before you speak. It's to think before you speak. We live in an instant world where people want instant answers, but actually, if we're going to speak honestly and reliably, we need to pause and stop and slow down before we speak. If someone asks you to do something, instead of just rushing in and saying yes, stop. Have you got other commitments that are going to stop you doing that? Have you really got the time to do it? Have you really got the ability to do what they're asking you to do? Have you got the desire to do what they're asking you to do? Are you going to back out of doing this thing if something better comes up? Is this something you should do Or is this something you actually shouldn't do? Stop before committing. Stop and think and consider. Don't answer straight away. Say, look, I have to check a few things, I'll get back to you. But then do get back to them, because if you don't get back to them, you'll have actually broken your word. So you have to do that. But do pause, stop, think, consider. And when it comes to speaking with refreshing honesty, we have to do the same thing. When you're about to blurt out that lie, when you're about to just twist the truth ever so slightly, when you're about to leave something pretty important out, stop yourself. Pause, gather your thoughts, think through what is true, and answer truthfully. This morning I confess that I have been confronted by my own sermon. This morning I confess that I've been convicted by my own sermon. This morning I confess that there is repentance needed in my life. And if you're like me this morning, the exciting news is that with God's help, we can be changed into refreshingly honest and reliable people. And the even better news is that by God's grace, we are forgiven for all of those times that we have let people down. All of those times when we have lied to people's faces. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven. Because of Jesus, we can start again. Let me pray.